If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Chicago Bulls released their all-access from training camp, and I know I'm probably buying into the hype. I get that. But things are really starting to feel different around about this Chicago Bulls team. We're talking about why on today's episode. We're also talking about the starting lineup for the preseason game and why it's going to offer Billy Donovan the best kind of view on finding the fifth starter for this team. And the Bulls and their plans for Noah Essanay and Yuki Kawamura are starting to be clear. We'll talk about all that, plus dive into the mailbag and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And Chicago Bulls released their all access from training camp. And listen, I get it. They released their all access every year, and it just gives an added insight on the Chicago Bulls. And things really just are looking and feeling different about this team. If you watch the all access, and I would implore everybody to go do, I'll cut some of the highlights into this for those that are on the YouTube side of things. But this seems to be a really intense practice by the Chicago Bulls, or intense training camp. And if you go and look at the previous training camps, it didn't really feel not nearly as intense as this. And it seems like Billy Donovan is really locked in to what he wants this team to be as far as identity. And that's what you, when you do return a roster, the majority of a roster, and also when you do finally set in on a play style, you figure out how to supplement that, right? And it seems like the Bulls have done both those things, right? Of course, they brought back most of their roster. The only new additions to this team is Noah Essanay and Isaac Okoro, right? As far as on the main roster, yes, Yuki Kawamura is there, but Yuki's a two-way contract. And how often have we seen two-way contracts play in the actual big games for the Bulls? We'll talk about that a little bit more towards the end of this episode. But, you know, so those things are there, right? But I think when you also look at this, like, Billy Donovan seems like he has a different level of focus as well. And, you know, as I said with everything, you got to make sure that this is going to maintain into the season. So, Winton, before you even get to start typing, yes, they have to prove it. But I'm gonna read a quote here from Billy Donovan. He says, "Guys, we have to be a whole lot better right now. Can you do it when you're fatigued? I'm sorry you're sore. Get fucking over it right now. Let's do shit the right way." And that's what you need, right? And keep in mind, Billy Donovan's been a coach that has acquiesced to his stars for a long time, right? Like, he benched Zach LaVine that one time. That whole thing came of it. He never really did it again, right? And that was despite some bad performances from Zach at times, some bad performances from DeMar at times. Like, nobody ever really got benched. Even Vooch, when defensively, you know, he was still out there sometimes, right? Now, I think with this team being younger, you've seen differently. Like, I mean, look at the start of last season. Josh Giddey didn't play in fourth quarters, and he didn't play in fourth quarters because his defense was bad. As the season went on and Josh Giddey performed better and locked in more defensively, Josh Giddey was out there in fourth quarters because of what he brings offensively and the fact that he wasn't as big of a negative on defense. And I think that what you're seeing right now is that, you know, that Billy Donovan is locked in. And maybe it's the new contract, and he knows he's going to be here for a little while again. And we've seen coaches. People thought Pop was going to retire before they drafted Wimby. And then they got Wimby, and Pop stayed around. And, of course, then his health ended up, you know, catching up to him, and now he's no longer the head coach there. But this new youth movement by the Chicago Bulls and the new direction of this roster, as well as a new play style and just a roster that better fits modern basketball, may have reinvigorated something in Billy Donovan. Now, yeah, he was named to a Hall of Fame this year. We know that was mostly because of what he did in college. And in no way am I saying all of a sudden now Billy Donovan is going to be this much better coach that, you know, we're going to want to see here for 10 more years. I'm not saying that. But when you look at a foundation setter, right, Billy Donovan has a chance to be that. I personally still think when the Bulls finally get a roster that they're happy with, eventually they're going to come to the realization like, hey, we're going to need a different coach to get us over the top. That's just based off what we've seen so far. But it does seem things are a little different. And if this team really does lock in, and with especially with intensity, with physicality, with defense, a lot of that comes down to effort. Yeah, you have your players that are defensively talented, that are one-on-one defensive monsters, and we don't have a lot of those guys on the team. We got Isaac Okoro, and we got Ayo Dosunmu, right, who can be some of our best on-ball defenders for this team, especially out on the perimeter. Those are the guys that we're looking at, right? Outside of those guys, though, right, it's going to have to take a team effort. It's going to have to take giving consistent effort on the defensive side, even if that means something takes away. Billy Donovan said something, after one of the practices, I think it was the second practice, when he said, like, you got to do the – it's not about what you want to do. If you want to win, you got to do the right things, and it can't be an option. And if you get this team to truly buy into that mentally, what it takes to consistently give the right effort in things, and that's where your team can fight above its weight. Now, that is difficult to maintain for years and years and years, and eventually you have to improve certain things, and your roster players got to step up. But, you know, for this season and for the chip that's on the Bulls' shoulder, and it should be, like, listen, regardless of how you or we or whoever looks at the Bulls' ending of the record, they finished the season 15-5, and people are predicting them to win, in some cases, 34 games, right? You should take that seriously. You should take that personally, to quote a great, right? And so, you know, having that, and I've said this about every sport that I cover, basketball, football, right? When you have a collective chip on your shoulder as a team, that could be something that can galvanize a team, that can get a team all together, right? And so hopefully that's what we're going to see here from this Bulls team this season. And, you know, it does really seem different. And, you know, of course you have players in roles that, you know, they haven't been in a lot in their career. Modest, now coming into year two. And, you know, Billy Donovan has done a good job at continually say, hey, teams are going to guard you differently now. Teams are going to attack you differently now. There's tape on you now. You're not surprising anybody. Josh Giddey, you're now coming into this now, only the second time in your career as the starting point guard for a team at the start of the season with the expectations of you to play the role that's best suited to your skills. Kobe White, right? Kobe White, you are now the number one scorer on this team. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You are the number one option on offense for this team. And the pairing and those type of things. Isaac Okoro, right? Like, if you're coming into this after being a role player for a Cleveland Cavaliers team that moved on from you after they found somebody who did your job better and they traded you, and listen, they're talking glowingly about Lonzo Ball over there at the Cavs training camp. Like, what now do you do? Because your role on this team is going to be simple. Whether you're starting or coming off the bench, we need what you bring defensively. We need what you bring physically. We need what you bring in intensity. We need that. Right, we've been sorely lacking from that. And I guess when I talked about on-ball defenders as well, P. Will could be one of those guys too this year. You guys just know I'm at the place now with P. Will where you got to show me. That's just what it comes down to for me for P. Will. And if he shows it, great, right? But we need that intensity from Isaac Okoro. So that's your role here. Now, if you can hit some open shots, you drive to the lane when we play fast break, you finish around the rim pretty decently, all that's great. You got a 40-inch vertical. Go out there and handle that, my boy, right? Go out there and handle that. But it does feel like this team is geared up and at least mentally ready to go. Now, we'll see a lot of the stylistic stuff in preseason. I don't think the Bulls are going to come out there trying to take 15 charges in preseason. So I already know there are going to be some that get to type in if the Bulls, you know, don't look necessarily the best defensively. Oh, what about all that? Like, preseason is going to be about as much finding the rotation as anything else. But I do think we could see flashes of that. I do think we could see glimpses of that. And I hope that we do and we see it very early on into the season for the Chicago Bulls. So if this season does end up being different, keep in mind, I'm one of the more optimistic Bulls content creators about this team. If they do come in and it actually looks different and it matches up the words, if it matches up these glimpses that we've gotten from All Access, and I will keep this in mind too, All Access is edited, it's curated, so they could pick the best moments of practice and we could just be seeing the best of that, right? But if it does look like this, and this team has, like, because we have a team full of good guys. One thing that AK has done is went out and made sure that guys with character are on this roster, right? And thus, then, if you get everybody to buy in with that character, then, hey, you could be off to the races on something here. You could be building something here. A lot of these guys don't have contracts this upcoming year, too. So, like, when your team, like, we have 7 players under contract, there are 15 people on guaranteed rosters, right? I mean, a guaranteed contract. So when you have 8 players that don't have contracts for next season, can you have big contract years from at least half of those players? Can you do that, right? Because that's another thing that could play a part into this as well. So we'll see what the Bulls bring this year. I'm excited about it. preseason game tomorrow. We will be back full gear, pregame show, watch party. No more halftime hangouts. We will be live for a watch party during the entirety of the game. So make sure you guys stay in tune with us for that as well. So we will be live for that also. But yeah, it's going to be fun. This is going to be a fun one. This is going to be a good one. And yeah, we'll see where the season takes us. But with that said, let's move into the next topic that I want to talk about. And that's the Bulls starting lineup, right? There's been a lot made over who's going to be the Bulls' fifth starter. And, you know, Billy Donovan's basically only mentioned Kevin Huerter and Isaac Okoro in that. Of course, I mean, I don't think they've closed the door to Dalen Terry or Patrick Williams if they show something, for example, in. And I'll say this. Listen, with Dalen being as young as he is, with Dalen's shot profile increasing like it has been, if Dalen were to, let's just say that something crazy happens and Dalen Terry walks away with the starting small forward position and he actually performs well, that's another sign of this youth movement that we have here. Now, I don't expect that. I do expect it to come down to Kevin Huerter and Isaac Okoro, right? Those are the guys. One of those two guys are going to be your starting small forward, 99.9%, right? One of those guys are going to be that. But I think that what we're going to happen and what we're going to see with this preseason game for the Chicago Bulls, and especially because Coby White is out, is you're going to see both those guys in the starting lineup. I would expect that you're probably going to see Josh Giddey, Kevin Huerter, Isaac Okoro, Matis Bouzelas, and Nikola Vucevic as your starters there. Now, Billy Donovan did say after practice yesterday that he's going to meet with the medical staff. They're going to make determinations on who can play what and if anything's going on there with, you know, Josh Giddey had an ankle thing. Patrick Williams had, an ankle thing as well at one point, you know, in this training camp period. But, you know, barring anything from the medical staff that we don't expect, that's probably going to be your starting lineup. And that offers a chance, especially if you go through, because it seems like Coby may only play maybe in like the last preseason game. But so if you go through this preseason and you're starting Huerter and you're starting Okoro, that gives you an opportunity to really see, all right, who is bringing it. Now, the downside of that is you're not getting to see either one of those guys with Coby White and got to see the fit there. But for like Kevin Huerter, you've already seen that, right? With Isaac Okoro, his game can really fit anybody. And we've seen him play with a back.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Port of high-usage guards before in Cleveland with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. Now, very different point guards, right? But high-usage point guards is kind of the more thing. So we know he can play a complementary role with his skill set. And so, you know, I don't think you necessarily need to see him necessarily out there with Josh Giddey and Coby to understand the fit, right? But this is going to offer an opportunity to really see who brings it. And, you know, I don't know how many minutes the starters are going to play, but I do expect that we're going to see a lot of Billy Donovan's hand here with as the preseason goes on and how the minutes are adjusted as well. So, you know, the preseason game is going to give a look for that. I would expect that we could see something crazy. Well, not crazy, but we could, you know, instead of seeing Okoro and Huerter out there, we could see Ayo start. But I think if the goal plan is for Ayo to be the sixth man this year, I think you just run him as the sixth man in preseason so you can get a feel of those rotations is I think what you want to do there. And then that way Ayo's playing in his role. Trey Jones is playing in his role coming off the bench. You got Okoro and Huerter. One of those guys are going to be on the bench as well, but you have both those guys in the starting lineup to evaluate their fit, right? And so I think you have that, and you could kind of start getting in that rhythm of the rotations that you have. Because keep in mind, that's one of the biggest things in this preseason period too and through training camp is figuring out the 10-man rotation for the Chicago Bulls. And that 10th man isn't going to play consistently a lot based off what Billy Donovan has done in the past, right? So I'm really looking forward to this in the preseason, is really seeing how these two guys play and how they play off Josh Giddey, and as well as like Josh Giddey's aggression level as well, right? Like with not having Coby White out there, you're basically the number one option on offense with you and Nikola Vucevic, right? But as far as everything kind of playing off you, it's even more because you're going to have the ball in your hands more. Kevin Huerter isn't going to have the ball a lot. Isaac Okoro is not going to have the ball a lot. So it's either going to be Giddey having the ball 90% of the time, or you're going to start trying to run some point forward things for Matis Bouzelas, which wouldn't necessarily be mad at either, right? So that's how it's going to look with Coby White out, and you get an opportunity to really evaluate some things on this team. And I think that's a good place to be in as things stand right now. At least I think so. So Let me know what you guys think on that down below. How do you see the rotations working out for the Chicago Bulls? Do you think that Kevin Huerter and Isaac Okoro are both going to start with Coby White being out? Let me know what you guys think on that down below. With that said, let's get into the last topic of the day. And I just want to be clear on this because I've seen a lot of comments on it. You know, people asking things like, where's Yuki? Where's Yuki? Yuki and Noah Essengay are probably going to spend a lot of time, at least at the start of the season, in the G League. And Yuki Kawamura being on a two-way contract, people have been asking like, oh, well, Yuki could come in there and take a start. He's not. He's on a two-way contract. And this Bulls team, and even before Billy Donovan, even with Gar Pax, right, even with Pax, when John Paxson was just running it, even though the G League was very different then, your two-way contract players, you just don't see a lot of them on the Bulls. Unless there's injuries, you don't see a lot of those guys. So, Emmanuel Miller and Yuki Kawamura and Lachlan Albrecht, the chances that you guys see those guys a lot in the regular season is very slim to none. And so I want to be clear there I get it. Yuki's very exciting. And if you want to see him play basketball, go and watch the Windy City Bulls. They play games. I think they play 40 games on the season, something like that. They're going to be a lot of them. Their season more so starts in November than in October. So stay on the lookout for that. But for those that are hoping that, and I do think Noah Essengay is going to spend some time at the start of the season in the G League. How he performs there is going to be telltale. Now, I mean, if you go back to the quote that AK said in the media day, he said this when it came to Noah Essengay in his role. We're not going to put high expectations on what's going to happen. We're just going to see how Essengay does the rest of training camp and how he does in preseason. Then we'll make those decisions. So, and not to say that he doesn't have a chance. I mean, if Noah Essengay, especially with Coby being out and the rotations kind of being weird, and I think he's going to get, probably 10 minutes in this first preseason game. If he looks good and the defense looks legit, there's absolutely a chance that Billy Donovan looks at him and say, 10th man, that's you, Noah, which means he's probably going to be inconsistent. There's a chance of that. I think just the more likely scenario is that you're probably going to see a lot of Noah Essengay in the G League to start off. Now, I hope that there's a similar plan to what there was. Like, I just want to see this coaching staff have a plan of development for Noah Essengay, meaning that there is a plan like, hey, all right, let's say the first month he's spending down there, with the Windy City Bulls. Great. If there's then plan, all right, we're going to bring him up. We're going to work him in five minutes here and there, 10 minutes when we have the lead and we can get him a little bit more. If there's a plan for that, I'm all fine and dandy with it. I just want a plan. For too long under Billy Donovan and with this team, we've drafted these raw rookies and we really haven't had a plan of development for them. I want to see a plan here. And if Noah does excel at the G League level, where he looks like he's above that level of competition, much like Modest Buzelis did last year, give the guy some burn. Don't just have him in the G League just by default, and then no matter how good he plays or not, then he's just stuck in the G League. That's not what I don't want to see for Noah Essengay. And so we'll see as that season goes on from him. But the way that people in the building are talking about him, I would not be surprised if Noah Essengay is playing pretty decent minutes by the end of the season. Not Modest's level by the end of Modest's rookie year. Keep in mind, he's 18, he's the youngest player in the league. But I do think we're going to see some of Noah Essengay where by the end of the season, we're probably seeing a consistent 8, 10, 12 minutes, something like that, depending on the defense that he brings. Now, that can end up reeling back in, as we get to the play-in, right? And if the Bulls are competing for that in playoff spot. But, we'll see. And like Noah said himself, he's more ready than a lot of people are giving him credit for. His coach said it. And so we'll see what happens there. All right, let's get into the voicemail. We got one voicemail that Vikram left late on Sunday, knowing the mailbag gets posted early. But this one Mondays are for. They're for overflow. Let's go ahead and play this voicemail from Vikram.
What's up, Ace? Vikram. Been a minute. Have you been? Just wanted to reach out. I was thinking about these trades that people are proposing. And there is one guy that I think would be inexpensive, but also a good target. I know a lot of people have their eyes on a Walker Kessler trade, but like you said, giving up picks without being a playoff team or being like a top 7, top 8 team, the purpose of like building organically, right? Like you're buying to get into the playoffs. And I feel like giving up, even if it's one pick, could really be like detrimental to what we have. Because say that year in 2027, like someone, I don't remember who it was, but they mentioned that they would give up the 2027 pick that we have. I feel like that's not the best use of our resources. And instead, we should wait it out. Let players grow. Let Vooch be the guy that he is. and then maybe at restricted free agency, like try to get Walker Kessler, or we can pivot to someone cheaper. You know, like we have a lot of like these forwards, guards that are like itching to play like as the 10th man. And if we go off, like, in a lot of these forwards, like, they won't get rotational minutes, like, Dalen Terry, Julian Phillips, because they're just people in front of them. So, I have a player, Jalen Williams on the Thunder. Not J-Dub, obviously. But I feel like we could go after him, because right now there's a big hole at our center position for the future, and they have a lot of centers, like Chet, Isaiah Hartenstein, and I think Kenrich Williams. And Jalen Williams is behind all these guys. So, say we give up like a player like Dalen Terry, or even Julian Phillips, who's under contract for the next 2 years, they need like these really cheap, but back into the bench players, especially because they're going to become really expensive. And I feel like they don't want to like bring back Jalen Williams when he's already making like over $7 million a year for the next 2 years. Like especially with next year, J-Dub and Chet's contracts are kicking in, and that's going to become really expensive, especially if you want to keep Caruso and Ihart. So if they reduce their costs and go after like some wing depth, I feel like that could be a good route they can go in, but also give us like a chance on like a prospect like Jalen Williams. So yeah, let me know what you think.
So it's funny enough you bring this up. So on tomorrow's episode, I will be looking at other center of the future options that the Chicago Bulls can look at. I did a little mini episode on it, but that's going to be one of the focuses of tomorrow's episode, is that other than Walker Kessler, the other centers that the Bulls can target in restricted free agency or in trade. But I do think, like to your point, like the Bulls could also target Walker Kessler in restricted free agency. And whereas instead of giving up draft capital, they're giving him a larger contract to try to get the Jazz to second guess matching that contract, right? I think that's an option that you have here for sure. And then that way you're not giving up any first round picks. And then you're taking, I don't think that the Bulls, not to say that they would not make a trade for Walker Kessler, but I don't think they're going to meet the demands of the Utah Jazz. And for that worth, I don't think a lot of teams are going to, if the ask is really two first round picks. I don't think they're going to do that. And like you said, I would love to see the Bulls hold on to the first round picks if they can, right? Now, as far as Jalen Williams, from the OKC Thunder, right? Not to say that that's a bad prospect at all, right? But he's 6'9", 240. He's more of a power forward that can play center than a straight-up center. And I also think, I don't think that the Thunder are going to be keeping Isaiah Hartenstein past this contract. Like, with how close they are to that second tax apron, I think the point of them drafting Thomas Sorber was so that they can get him ready to be the starter by the 27-28 season, because Isaiah Hartenstein is under contract for one more year after the season on a team option, right? And I think with Jalen Williams, he's under contract. Again, not J-Dub, Jalen Williams, the big man. He's under contract. He has a team option in 27-28 and only $7.7 million. So if you do, right, get to a point where you feel comfortable with Thomas Sorber being your starter out there with Chet Holmgren, and then you have Jalen Williams at that point as a cost-effective backup, I think you're pretty good, right? So I don't know if they're going to be looking to move Jalen Williams. So that's just my thought process on that. So that's where I am with that. But, you know, there are a lot of center options. Like I said, on tomorrow's episode, I'm going to get really into a lot of them, because there are a lot more than what I think people, some that are bigger risk than others, some where I think that you can get a center that has the play style you want, but maybe you don't sign them to a long-term deal and you still draft another center and develop those guys. There's a lot of different options out there, but I'll get into those tomorrow. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and or voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.